From time to time over the last couple of years when I've had the privilege of doing the Sunday lesson, I have occasionally talked about understanding and knowing God's will. And so we're departing from Revelations this morning, and we're going to continue down that path of knowing God's will. And the portion of God's will that I want to talk about today is one that you rarely hear about, even though I think we're all probably would fit into this category, and that is fleecing. Now, in the mid-1980s, Pat Robertson wrote a book called The Plan, and it was a book written on the will of God. And this was written right after he failed in his presidential bid of 1986. This was a hard lesson for him to learn, and because of that, he wrote the book on how he finally made the decision to run for president. In 1985, a hurricane was forecasted to come ashore at Virginia Beach, and that's where Pastor Robertson has his headquarters. Now, this hurricane was approaching Virginia Beach just about the time that he was making this decision on whether or not to run for president. He was thinking it over, and he thought to himself, this would be a perfect time for a fleece. So he got on his knees, and he says in the book, he prayed, Lord, if you want me to run for president, I want you to direct that hurricane out to the Atlantic Ocean. Now, that's a pretty dramatic sign. If that happened, if that hurricane was turned out, that would be quite an indication, according to his request, that he should run for president. So he gathered his staff together, and they prayed again. And his prayer went something like this, Lord, if I can't move a hurricane, how can I move a nation? Now, when the hurricane was about 40 miles offshore, off the coast of Virginia, it turned north and went back out and drifted harmlessly out over the North Atlantic. So Pastor Robertson took that as a clear sign that God wanted him to run for president. Okay, we'll come back to the end of that story in a minute. But before we do, let's take a look at a few of these questions that this book raises on fleecing. What is the biblical background for fleecing? Well, the answer to that question goes back to the Old Testament. It goes back to the book of Judges, and it goes back to a man named Gideon. Gideon was an unlikely hero of the Old Testament. God came to him one day, and he said to him, Hello, mighty warrior of God. I'm going to use you to deliver my people from the Midianites. Now, isn't it interesting that how God sees us versus how we see ourselves? Gideon was the last to think that he was a mighty warrior. And probably when he heard this, he was looking over his shoulder on both sides to see if that angel was talking to someone behind him rather than him. Now, the Midianites were a vast army from the east who invaded Israel every year at harvest time. They rode in at harvest time, plundered everything the Israelites had gathered, and then left town, rode out of town. They did that for year after year after year. Every harvest time, the Jews became more and more afraid of the Midianites' raids because it would leave them poor for the rest of the year. They were reduced to living in caves. And God tapped Gideon on the shoulder and said, I'm going to use you to deliver my people. He was very, very clear. God was very clear on this point. He says, I'm going to use you. You are the man to deliver my people. He repeats it, and of course Gideon says, Who, me? God says, Yes, you. Gideon says, You've got the wrong man. God says, No, I don't. You're the man. The important thing to note here is Gideon knew what God wanted. Now, before we get to the story of how this fleece came about, note this fact. Judge 6 is perfectly clear that Gideon knew exactly what God wanted him to do. The fleece was simply a confirmation determining God's will. It actually says as much in Judges 6:36. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all around the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And that's what happened. Gideon gets up early the next day and finds the fleece full of moisture with the ground around it dry. He squeezes out the fleece, and there's so much moisture in there that he gets a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time, make the fleece dry and the ground around it covered with dew." And that night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry and all the ground around it was covered with dew. Then he goes on to ask for the fleece, and in verse 17 says, "Then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand." He knew that God expected him to save Israel. He wasn't sure it was by his hand that God was going to do it. Fleecing is a very popular, yet very scriptural form of guidance. By studying the life of Gideon, we see clearly that putting out a fleece has never been and never will be a God-ordained form of guidance. Only one time in all of Scripture do we find someone putting out a fleece. Jesus has said that we must have two or three confirmations before we can consider something a biblical doctrine. And we find that in Deuteronomy 17:6. People who put out fleeces do not have two or three examples from the Bible instructing them to do so. Gideon was the first and last in the Bible to put out a fleece. So no matter what conclusion you come to about modern fleecing, remember that originally it was used to confirm God's will, not to determine it. Originally, it was used to confirm God's will, not to determine God's will. Okay, so let's describe what it means to put out a fleece. Gideon put out a literal sheep's fleece to test God's will. Now, others may not use an actual sheepskin, but fleece in different ways, more contemporary ways. For example, and this is a pretty simplistic example, but this is kind of how it works. "Lord, I don't know if I should move to Maine or Idaho. I'm going to go to the grocery store. If I find Idaho potatoes, I'm going to go to Idaho. If I find Maine potatoes, I'm going to go to Maine." Okay? Now, that's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it, "Lord, if you want me to move to Maine, open the door and close the door to Idaho." Now, I don't know about you, but when I started this studying for this lesson on fleeces, I didn't think I was guilty of this. I thought, you know, do I do this? And it became clear to me that I do. The open door, closed door, fleece, you know, driving around a parking lot, "Lord, if you want me to get in there, you need to give me a parking space." You know, "Lord, I'll obey the law if you will keep this officer from writing the ticket." Okay, so these are all little fleeces, but that's exactly what this is. Now, this is dangerous. This is a dangerous thing to do, and the reason is because Satan is the god of this world. That's little g. Satan is the god of this world, and he can put potatoes of his choice in the store anytime he wants. He can open and close doors anytime he wants. So the doors of opportunity, or what's in the store, could very well be signs from Satan. These are in the physical realm. This fleece that we're talking about here is in the physical realm. God does not live in the physical realm. God is spirit. If you want to communicate with God, or you want God to communicate with you, it absolutely must be done through the spirit realm. Insisting on any other way always results in heartache and deception. Okay, today's fleecing is not the same Here's the main point. Our contemporary usage of the fleece is not the same usage as Gideon. We use the fleece today when we are uncertain about what God wants us to do. We don't know whether to marry so-and-so. We don't know whether to send our children to Christian schools or a good public school. We're torn between two good job offers. We don't know whether to move in the suburbs, whether to stay in the city. We use a fleece when we don't know what God's will is. But in the Old Testament, Gideon already knew God's will. And that's a crucially important point. The fleece was never used or intended to determine God's will. The only time it was ever used was to confirm God's will, which had already been made unmistakably clear. Gideon knew God's will. He was just afraid to do it. He was afraid. He was asking for a little extra confirmation from God that that's really what he should do. Now, why did God allow Gideon to fleece? Well, Gideon was not a prophet. He wasn't a king. He wasn't a judge. He wasn't a special leader of any kind in the nation of Israel. Now, these individuals are found to occasionally have the Holy Spirit come upon them at special times, in times of crisis. Gideon lived under the Old Covenant, and Gideon was not born again. Gideon did not have the Holy Spirit within him. Therefore, he did not have the ability to make godly decisions like we do under the new covenant with the Holy Spirit within us. Gideon was, as they say, plain, ordinary, unregenerate, and a spiritually dead human being. He didn't have any help from the Holy Spirit. God was requiring him to take on the entire Midian army with a handful of other plain, ordinary, unregenerate, spiritually dead Israelites. What a crew. They didn't have any help from the Holy Spirit either. So God fully realized that Gideon needed a supernatural point of reference to keep him focused. So the first appearance of God to Gideon was through an angel who performed a dynamic miracle in order to get Gideon's attention. Secondly, he also allowed Gideon to put out a fleece to maintain his confidence. And thirdly, he let him put out the fleece again to overcome his own weakness and lack of faith. So what does the New Testament tell us about fleecing? Nothing. Yeah. Do you read this? Did you get a copy of this? The New Testament says nothing about fleecing. However, because it does say nothing, it's a very significant point. There are no examples in the New Testament where anybody ever put out a fleece to determine God's will. You find it once way back in the Old Testament, but when it comes to the New Testament, now, the New Testament is where we discover the basic rules of Christian life. You never see the apostles doing something like this. You never read any passage where Apostle Paul recommends to the believers at Rome or Philippi that they should put out a fleece to determine God's will. There are no examples of that of any kind in the New Testament. So what do you find in the New Testament? Drum roll, Don. You find passages like Matthew 12:38-39 where the Pharisees asked Jesus for a miraculous sign, and Jesus says, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign." Demanding miraculous signs from God is not a sign of strong faith. It's a sign of very weak and immature faith. In Gideon's case, it's a cover for an unbelieving heart. Jesus repeats his words in Matthew 16:1-4. When the Jewish leaders came asking for a sign from heaven, Jesus says, "A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." You see, the Bible never said that mature believers were to follow signs. What the Bible does say is that signs will follow mature believers. If you go to Mark 16, 15 through 20, you'll see the results of signs following believers as the apostles go out and do their work, okay, of healing and preaching the gospel and these sort of things. Mature believers follow the written word. Gideon's experience was the exception and not the rule. Those that insist on being led through fleeces are opening up themselves to a lot of grief. Demanding signs and fleeces is a sign of ignorance, unbelief, and immaturity. And then we have the interesting case of Thomas, the man who would not believe until he put his hands into the wounded side of Jesus, Doubting Thomas. And what did Doubting Thomas want? He wanted a sign from Jesus. Why? Because he didn't believe Jesus had risen from the dead. So what did Jesus do? He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe," from John 20:27. Jesus met Doubting Thomas at the point of his weakness. But what did Jesus say next? He says, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." There's one level of Christian life that says, "Lord, you've got to show me first. I've got to see a sign before I believe." And then there's another level that says, "Lord, you said it. I don't see any signs, but you said it. That's good enough for me. Signs or no signs." When you know God's will, you are to do it. Period. End of story. There is nothing left after that. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, we have a biblical perspective. We live by faith, not by sight. So you can say that in another way. We walk by faith, not by fleeces. All right, so what are the dangers of fleecing? Is there any danger in fleecing? What would happen if we did that? Well, I think the Holy Spirit will allow you to get away with it when it comes to guidance during the baby stages of Christianity. You know, I ought to tell you this story. I may have told you this story before, but it's so powerful in my mind. When I was struggling mightily with everything, before I was a Bible reading believer, you know, I was one of those baby believers that said this, that prayed the prayer, you know that, but never did anything after that. That was me. And then when times got really, really bad, my example, incidentally, was Mary Lynn. She had been studying the Bible for years, and I'd watch her. So I thought, well, okay, maybe I can read. Maybe I'll find the answer in the Bible. So I tested God. I said, "God, if you want me to use your Bible and your word to solve my problems, then answer this question for me." And I would state a question, and then I would do what I call drop and flop. Drop the Bible and let it open to where it would. And there it was. Right before my eyes, the answer. Right there. That worked for about 2 weeks. And then I had to go over a page. And then at several more weeks, I'd have to go over a chapter. So anyway, I was a baby believer. God was graceful to me and allowed that fleece to work. Okay, so that's one time it happens. But he always expects us to grow up and mature and obey what is written in the New Testament. That's what we're expected to do. Those who insist on remaining spiritual babies by telling God, "Do this for me and I'll do that for you," or "Open this door and close that door and I'll know it's you," ultimately end up getting fleeced themselves. Satan can open and close doors at will and send counterfeit miracles to mislead believers. He'll gladly respond to your fleeces if you insist on putting them out. Somebody will take advantage of that, and it'll be Satan. You're not going to like it when it happens either, because it's going to mislead you and it's going to hurt you. This is why Jesus himself forbade asking God for signs for any reason. So why did Jesus forbid this? Why did he forbid asking for signs? Well, first of all, fleecing will lead you to uncertainty and confusion. Second, fleecing comes very close to attempting to manipulate God. The Bible repeatedly warns us against putting God to the test. So what does that mean? It's any attempt to box him in according to our standards. It's a human attempt to say, Lord, if you're going to work in my life, let me tell you how you can do that. It's helping God when he doesn't want the help. God says, it doesn't work that way. I'm God and you're not. The third problem is this. You end up shifting responsibility from yourself to God, thus destroying the need for faith. That brings us again to a fundamental insight concerning God's will. Generally speaking, it is not God's way to show us our personal future. Most often, God is going to show us the next step, and that's all. Too many times, fleecing is an attempt to get through the back door what we couldn't get through the front door. It's an attempt to force God's hand to show us the future. We still have to take responsibility for our choices, and fleecing is an attempt to shift the responsibility for our decisions from us to God, thus destroying the need for faith and responsible decision making. Fleecing is an attempt to shift responsibility from our decisions to God, thus destroying the need for faith and responsible decision making. Too often, we're trying to discover the future when we do this, rather than only the next step, which is what God has promised to show us. After all the prayer, after all the counsel, after all the meditation, after all the Bible study, after all the thinking, after all the writing down of all the options, you still have to choose. It is your decision. After you've agonized, still the moment comes when you must decide. If you're going to take that new job, you've got to decide that for yourself, not through a fleece. If you're going to sell your house, you need to decide that for yourself, not through a fleece. In the words of the great philosopher Yogi Berra, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Fleecing is an attempt to stand at that fork in the road and never make a decision, therefore destroying your need for faith and decisive action. Okay, so is it always wrong to ask for a sign? It is not always wrong to ask for a sign. It's not wrong to ask for a sign if we are simply asking for guidance as to the next step and not asking for God to reveal the future to us. In Matthew 10, Jesus talked about using sanctified common sense in discerning God's will in certain situations. This is the story where he sends out the 12 and gives them the following instructions. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust of your feet and leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for that town. Therefore, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Now here's a case where Jesus instructs his followers to look for certain outward signs in order to find God's will. When you go into a town, if they want to listen, preach to them. If not, go someplace else. How's that for a strategy? If they listen, stay there. If not, go somewhere else. Shake the dust off your feet. God showed him the next step. He didn't reveal the future. Okay? This understands the working of God through circumstances of life. Sanctified common sense. It's using your brains to properly analyze the situation and draw good conclusions regarding what God wants us to do. That's what sanctified common sense means. Okay, is a fleece ever appropriate? There are probably two basic circumstances when God may answer a request for a fleece. We talked about one earlier, and that is of the young believer, the baby believer, very new in the faith, that probably doesn't know any better. So a fleece makes sense. The second case is where the people of God collectively have come to an enormous crisis situation and they need some direct guidance from God. Now, I believe God might do it because that's more or less what happened in Judges chapter 6 when the Israelites were faced with the raiding Midianites. Sometimes God will condescend to reveal himself to us when we are spiritually immature so that he strengthens our ability to walk in faith and not by sight and not to be dependent on outward circumstances for our obedience to him. So it's a learning process. You know, it's like raising children. You learn to teach them a little bit at a time. Okay, so to wrap this up, first of all, fleecing can be dangerous, misleading, and manipulative, leading to confusion and uncertainty. Now, we're going to back to Pat Robertson. I hope you didn't think I was forgetting. And the hurricane. When the hurricane turned away from the Virginia coast, he took it as a sign God wanted him to run for president. Now, can you imagine the impact of that? You pray that the hurricane would be deflected from landfall and happens. Now, it would be easy to assume, wow, that's a pretty strong sign. But his book, The Plan, makes it clear that at that point, he not only believed that he should run for president, but he also believed that he was going to win. He believed the hurricane turning away meant that he would be the next president. Now, is that a case of Satan at work? I would think so. Many believers use this method to determine God's will. Now, if you doubt that, if you know Pat Robertson, maybe you don't agree with his theology, but he would not be considered an immature Christian or an immature believer. And if he feels this fleece was appropriate for his request, well, what about us simple people? Pretty easy to fall into that. It's a big mistake. Secondly, seeking wisdom and putting out a fleece are two different things. And many times it's confusing. People will confuse these. Seeking wisdom means asking God for direction for the next step. You know, many times when I've been asked something described to me to be a very difficult problem by someone coming to me and asking me what I thought, very difficult problem laid out and wanting to know, well, what should I do? How should I go about this? And you know what the answer is? The answer is you do the next thing. Whatever that is, you do the next thing. God will reveal the path one step at a time. And all you do is do the next thing. And that's the difference here between seeking wisdom and asking for a fleece. Putting out a fleece is an attempt to discover the future. And that's not good. God will show us the next step. He's not committed to showing us the future. It also helps to remember that seeking wisdom involves looking at the relevant circumstances. If we go back to Gideon for a moment, a wet fleece or a dry fleece had really no particular connection to defeating the Midianite army. It had nothing to do with it. It appears to be a purely arbitrary sign that was given Gideon. A fleece involves selecting a related or unrelated sign that actually attempts to force God's hand by causing him to reveal the future. Wisdom means asking God for specific guidance involving the relevant circumstances of the decision you need to make. So, fleecing is out in left field. Asking for God's wisdom deals with the relative circumstances that you're facing with. Thirdly, mature faith does not rely on spectacular signs, but rather on wisdom from God and sanctified common sense. Now that sentence more or less sums up this entire message. The conclusion is this. Is it wrong to put out a fleece? No, it's not wrong. Is it unwise? Yes, very unwise. Will God guide us in the next step, his children? Yes, he will. Does that mean we have to put out a fleece in order to help him do it? The answer to that's no. So I think what our biggest problem is that we have a desire to stay down at the baby level of Christianity. We want to remain in spiritual diapers so we don't have to take responsibility for our own actions. We push them off to God. So what does God want from us? Only one thing, simple faith. Faith. No one has ever improved on the words of Solomon. This is my favorite scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. In all your ways, not in all your fleeces. There's a difference. Our Father wants to bring us into a place where our trust is in him alone, not in circumstances. Not in fleeces, not in things we can understand. He wants to bring us to the high point where our trust is in God alone. Okay, let's pray. Pray. Dear Lord, your words are so vital to our survival, Lord. You teach us each and every day what you want from us and give us guidelines to follow. Lord, our eyes need to be simply on you and on nothing else. Lord, we must close the door to Satan's influence in our lives. We must not test you. We must not allow Satan to influence what we do, say, or think. Lord, let us look to you for the next step. Let us not fall into the trap of asking you to reveal the future to us. Lord, that is yours and yours alone. We just ask for that next step, Lord. Just give us that next step, and then we will follow that faithfully. We will follow that faithfully until you bring us to the conclusion that you have already ordained for us. We pray, Lord, for this week that we all would be mindful of this message and that we would live our Christian faith in a mature way and not in a childish way. And we pray that you would bless all these this morning and their families, Lord. And may we return next week healthy and ready to learn your word again. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.